Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come learn with us. We have a great many guests that are just really very astounding, and today is a special day. We're sorry that we have had technical difficulties. You know, and when it's something good, sometimes these things happen. But we are so glad that you're still there, hopefully, tuning in, and we'll be able to share the podcast as we do an interview with our good friend Luca Voci. And I know Miss Barbara is trying to get the switchboard on. I don't hear her yet, so I'm just going
Diana?
To talk about our... Hi, Miss Barbara, I'm so glad you...
Hey.
God, it's good.
The switchboard is up, and we've got Don Wildman, I believe, and we've got Luca Voci. So I think we're good to go, Diana. Praise God.
Oh, God is good. I was so excited. Hey, Luca. Hey, Don.
Hi, Diana.
Hello, Diana.
Well, good. We've got the happy family. Oh, yes, the happy family is together this morning, just as we had hoped it would be. And I know, Don, you were so excited to hear that Luca was coming on, so you made time on your schedule for today. And I know, Luca, you're busy where you're at, so if you don't mind, tell us a little bit. Well, no, I'm sorry. We've got to start this right with prayer, just like the founders did and just like we always love to do. So, Ms. Barbara?
Oh, thank you, Diana. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we have such grateful hearts today, Lord. We're overwhelmed with your goodness and what you are doing in our lives and in our country. Father, we thank you that a new day is dawning in this land, Father, that we are beginning to wake up and stretch and rub the sleep out of our eyes, Father, and getting our eyes wide open. We thank you, Father, that... with you, all things are possible. And we thank you, Father, that it is your doing. And, Father, we thank you for responding, Lord. You heard and you answered prayer regarding the debate this week, Lord, and how faithful you were, Father. We could tell that you were there. And, Lord, that you allowed and brought forth truth to prevail. How grateful we are to you, O God. and how faithful you are. Be with us now, Father. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And, Father, as always, we ask your blessing not only upon our country and Israel and our troops, but, Father, on our guests and their loved ones as well. Your blessing, Father, your very best for them. We pray it, Father, in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. And, I, you know, thank God for this ability to do this because we can move our schedule around. My computer crashed, though, this week of all weeks. And, of course, it's, you know, this is such a good interview, and I know there were things working not to have this interview. But yesterday's interview was great, too, because it dealt with a president's, I think, number one issue he opened up with his conversation. That was education. And, Don, you were on, and I know you're passing information about education that Obama's proposing when he talked about race at the top. And also we delved into Common Core with Miss Betty Peters, who is an expert in this nation on education. But we're so glad to have an expert, really, on European politics and also on our Constitution. And, you know, we talk about what's going on in the economy, and I just saw some news about Greece. So I titled today, really, you know, which leader is going to let us follow Greece, and I think we all know which one. So, but anyway, I want to hear a little bit about what Luca has been up to, if he doesn't mind sharing with us, Luca.
Yeah, most definitely. So for the past 10 days, I've been here. I've been stateside. I've been in Texas. And the original plan was to just come here and try to help Ted Cruz go to the Congress, go into the Senate. And apparently, Ted Cruz is doing so well that he didn't actually need me. So I was here, and I tried to just find something to do, which is going around and helping out other candidates, doing grassroots politics. So just going here and meeting as many Tea Party groups as I can in order to really understand what makes them so successful, in order to just go back to Europe and just, you know, instruct other Tea Party groups to do exactly the same, because the method is working. But there is still something that we don't get, because the mainstream media has never talked about the Tea Party. And so, or if they do, they just spread a bunch of lies. So this is why I'm here. And it's been really great, and it's been really instructional. I met a lot of really good people. I had an interview with Catherine Engelbrecht of Through the Vote, and she has a really good organization, and she was really inspirational to all of us, because it is possible to just have an impact on a national level, even if you start with 4, 5, 6 people. You have to work really hard. You have to have the Lord's blessing for that, but, you know, you can make it. And so this is really, really good. I think that this is a message of hope that I can bring back to the old continent in a moment that is definitely not the best in our history.
Well, with that, you know, we need to learn from you, Luca, because, you know, the headlines, I remember seeing a little glimmer of that, of Greece, and we do have listeners in Florida. The panhandle made a difference in, really, the Gore-Bush election. Do y'all remember that, Ms. Barbara, Don? And also, we have some friends in Virginia, and that's another key state, and here's John Wildman from California. So we're going to get what you're going to say out to those folks, and hopefully other states will also tune in. But I'm really excited about the, you know, chance for Floridians to hear you, because they're not seeing that. They really need to see what the future of America with the choice they're fixing to make this November. So if you don't mind, Luca, tell them what is going on with the European economy and their form of democracy, or, I'm sorry, socialism.
Yeah, well, what we are seeing in Europe is what happens to a social democrat system once you run out of other people's money. So you see that the system is imploding. And not only in Greece, because you only see Greece because it's on every headline, but it's imploding in Spain and Portugal and Ireland and Italy as well. So you're seeing, and France is not really far behind. So this is what maybe most people don't realize, is that pretty much half of the European Union, of the Eurozone, is bankrupt. And this is not because they had bad governments, but most of them, they were bad. So you have from bad to worse. So Greece was really, they were really crazy. They were spending like madmen. Spain was in a huge real estate bubble, and then when it exploded, all the banks were bankrupt. And Portugal doesn't really have an economy anymore because they're not manufacturing anything, and the country is going down. Italy is the one that is still clinging on because we still have a productive industry. And so that's why the country is still barely holding on. But we have governments and we have people that have spent public money like there is no tomorrow. And people in America, they look at Europe and they think, yeah, this is that is that. We are different. This will not happen to us because we are not as bad as the Italians, as the Spanish, as the Greek, and so on. But if you look at Italy 20 years ago, well, things were starting to go bad, but the economy was booming. And you had new industries, and you were on top of the game in so many areas, and you were really competitive. And then what happened? It happened that cronyism got the better of capitalism. And so the special interests decided that the market, the free market, wasn't really good. So we better limit them, because otherwise we cannot succeed. And that's what you get. And you have the same thing in America as well. This is exactly what... Are you listening to me?
Oh, yes, Luca, yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I had another call coming in, sorry. This is what is happening in Europe. And this is exactly what will happen in America as well, because we have already seen that free market is being severely limited with overregulation and with money that is being taken away from productive parts of the economy, and it's being given to really non-productive parts, parasitic parts. So that's what you get when you have the so-called green economy stimulus. You take away money from companies and businesses that are productive and they could create new jobs, and you're giving them to people that are well-connected, but they have absolutely no economic sense. So giving money to Solyndra and all the other green economy stuff, it's something that will make you feel good with yourself, all warm inside, because you're doing something for the environment. But actually, you're just giving money to people who are very well connected, and they have given a bunch of money to the Obama campaign or to the Democratic Party. And this is the beginning of the end. We've seen that in Europe. We've seen that in Italy 20 years ago. Everything was going okay, and then something started to crack. And this is the end result. The only difference is that in Europe it took 20 years because other countries were still going. And the fall of America, if you keep on doing on this track, will be even faster. Because when Europe is collapsing, don't think that the Atlantic will shadow you from the consequences. It will be really serious and it will be really bad. Because if the euro collapses, something that probably they're trying to do everything they can to just stop it, but it will happen because the numbers are there. The numbers are so bad that there is no way in hell that the euro will survive. So the European currency will collapse, and we don't know exactly what will come up after that. And the consequences will be felt in America as well.
Well, Luca, you bring up a point, I think, that one of the candidates, Romney, made, which, a lot of people laughed at it, but he was talking about Big Bird. Big Bird makes you feel warm and cozy. But that's what you're talking about, though. The principles that we've been following and where Obama wants to head us is really going to destroy us. It may make us warm and cozy, but it's going to destroy us. What are your thoughts about that, in particular, what Romney was, the principle that Romney was talking about and mentioning Big Bird about?
Yeah, well, actually, this is the crucial point of saying that too big to fail cannot really survive. You have countries, you have companies, you have banks. You've seen Spain wasn't really going that bad. But then you had a few big banks that were really well connected, but with both parties. It's not a matter of left or right, because in Spain you had the problem. You had some banks that were with the Socialist Party, some other banks that were with the Partido Popular, with the sort of conservative party. So they were both in bed with these banks. And these banks, they said, well, if we give money to the real estate, it's a no loss, so you always win. And then what happened? It happened that the real estate market tanked, and you had the real estate bubble. They burst, and these banks, they racked up so many debts that were impossible to collect, and then they went to the government and say, please help us. And they thought exactly the same thing that George W. Bush's government did think. Oh, they are too big to fail. We need to help them. So the problem that was a problem of the private sector was shifted into the public sector, just raising the debt and then pretty much putting the government into a position where it cannot pay and it needs to raise taxes. And this is a downward spiral that will collapse any country. So this is what you have right now. This is what happens when you don't let the free market work. Because in a free market, the system would have corrected itself. So you have a big bank that has given too much money to real estate developers, and these real estate developers, they just made bad bets. They are not able to collect their debts, and so they are in a situation of crisis. They just go bankrupt. This is what happens. This is the free market. The free market means that you are free to just try to make it, but if you make a wrong bet, you go bankrupt. And this is not because the system is bad. This is how it's supposed to work.
Well, and, let me go ahead and ask you. Let me say one more thing, and then I'll turn this over to Dawn and Ms. Barber, because I know they're anxious to talk to you too. But another point with a Big Bird speech was in regard to, we do not need to be borrowing money from China. Why fund things like this? I mean, really, everything adds up. You know, it's just like a grain of sand. Oh, by itself, it's nothing, but you put a whole lot of sand and you can drown in it. And so, you know, when you start funding items like, you know, PBS and everything else, but yet you're having to borrow money from China, speak about that and what really the danger in that.
Well, the danger was that European governments were exactly in the same situation. They already had public spending on unsustainable levels. It's been going like this for the past 30 years because there were too many old people that were getting entitlement programs, and there were not enough young people. The demographics worked against Europe. And you were in a situation where the most sensible thing to do would have been to cut spending in other areas, not the entitlement programs, but just limit them in order to make them sustainable. It's very unpopular to take a decision like that, and obviously the electorate is not going to like it because they think that they are entitled to what they've been promised. But that was the most correct thing to do. They didn't do it because they wanted to be reelected. And instead, they just said, well, it's easy. Interest rates are so low, we will just borrow money and keep on spending. And they always had an excuse. They were just, this industry is not going good. Yeah, we'll give them some money. We'll just do this. We'll just do that. We'll spend on this. We'll spend on that. Because they were following a faulty economic model, the Keynesian model, the one that says that if you keep aggregate demand high, the economy will recover. Now, we've seen that the stimulus package that was made by President Obama didn't really work. And he's still asking for more money. It's kind of like Paul Krugman of the New York Times. And he's saying, yeah, we should spend more, 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 always more. Give me more money. Actually, it's never about money. It's about control. They want to have more debt. Because if you have more debt, that's how you enslave a country. Well, the founding fathers knew that. That's why they didn't want a central bank like the Bank of England. They didn't want that. And it took more than 150 years before the United States of America had the Federal Reserve. And this happened in a moment of crisis. And this is the root of all evil. Because if you keep on borrowing money to do something that could be positive, this is the best way to bankrupt the country and to destroy the economy. So that's, you've seen in Europe what happens. When you don't have the money, you should cut something. I know it's painful, it's not politically conducive, so you will lose some votes, but that's the way to run a country. You cannot spend more than you earn. So that's what Governor Romney is proposing. I don't know if he will deliver, at least he's proposing the right thing, because he's saying that, of course, we will invest money only if we have cut something from government spending. Government spending is so high that there are hundreds of ways to just cut programs that are ineffective, to reduce government bureaucracy, to fire people that are really just making life more complicated for others. It's painful, but this is what needs to be done. You cannot go on borrowing money, because otherwise you will end up like Greece. Greece is having to promise interest rates that are through the roof. They're more than, at one point, they were offering treasury bonds with an interest rate that was something like 120%. This is unsustainable. You cannot pay that kind of interest. And you're going back into a... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Luca. But, well, you know, Luca, you just painted a picture that I think the common person really can see. Put that vision in your mind of you borrowing money through your credit cards. And if you, you know, don't pay it on time for some reason or another, you know, the interest rate then, wow, quadruples to the point that you'll never pay that debt. So, you know, you are listening. Just look at it from your family budget and those credit cards and how horrendous the interest rate can be, and that is so damaging. So thanks for painting that picture, because we need a picture, Luca, and we need to see from our own, you know, day-to-day activities, hey, what is going on in Congress is really the same thing as what happens in our home, you know.
I'll just borrow the words of Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher at the Conservative Conference in 1982 said something that is pretty much very remarkable. He said, you don't grow richer by ordering a new checkbook. This is exactly when a country doesn't go it becomes more rich and more prosperous just by spending more and getting into more debt. This is what we've been having right now. This is the consequences of bad economics, of a bad philosophy that is just, it's just covering what is the real interest of many politicians, which is give money to the people that have funded their campaigns. So it's all about cronyism. And definitely, we need to put a stop to that. And at the moment, Governor Romney seems to be decided to do that.
Well, Don, I know that you've got some comments probably or questions, so I'm going to go ahead and let you get a chance to get in.
I just agree with Luca like I always do. And coming from his expert eye, being in Europe and not just living it day to day and seeing what it's done to Italy and the UK, Greece, Spain, Portugal, but has had to work under those circumstances, and his job is to report this type of stuff. So I thought it was incredible that he was coming over here, because I really wanted to see through Luca's eyes what he thought we were doing right in this country, because everything we do is just an experiment. I mean, the whole basis of our nation and the freedom and liberties we hold was just a gigantic experiment, and it worked. So, you know, we're forever as grassroots activists trying to figure out how do you combat a system that's machinations have been so instilled in government for so long that, you know, that machinery just keeps going. How do we combat that? And I think one of the best things we have about Luca being here is that he has that eye. He sees how everything's going. He sees what we're doing in the United States. He's been holding up the red flag for a long time saying, guys, really, if you want to know where this ends, look at us over here in Europe. So I was really interested in what Luca thought we were doing right here and the things that might excite you that you saw happening here, because you couldn't ask for a better place for citizen activism than going to Texas. It's one of the places that really is doing, I think, doing things right. Catherine, with the election and integrity stuff, through the vote, I mean, come on, that's phenomenal. So what do you see here, Luca, that you think is just, that excites you?
Oh, my God, I would need a whole program to do that, because it's so many things. You can see that over here, but everywhere, I guess, in the United States, you have people that have woken up smelled the coffee and said, well, the country's on the wrong track, let's do something. And this is something that you don't really see in Europe. In Europe, you have people that are discouraged. They've lost all hope. They're just thinking, well, the government is too powerful. Yeah, the machinery that we have, the media is all saying the same things. Everyone. There is not an inch of dissent. Everything seems to be going fine. The government's raise taxes again, and it's fine, it's okay, yeah, go along. And here in the United States, you see people that are working, but they're working with not only with enthusiasm, because even the Tea Party groups in Europe, they are full of young people that are enthusiastic, they would love to change the system, but they don't have method. They don't know exactly what they're doing. And this is very important, because we can take from the experience of the Tea Party in America exactly how to just go and have an effect. And actually, going to Houston to see the King Street Patriots and through the vote was really inspirational, because you have a very, if you go there and you don't know exactly their story, you're thinking, oh my God, these guys are flush with money, because they have a really nice office space with four or five offices, a meeting room, and then they have this huge room in the back where they have their weekly meeting. And I was there and I was asking Catherine and saying, oh my God, how are you able to afford something like that? So you must be full of donors and people that do that. And she said, I don't know exactly how we did. I just think that we just went step by step, being really focused on the next move. And this is something you don't get a lot in Europe and around the world. You're always thinking four or five steps ahead, and you're blocked because it seems too big, it seems too crazy. Just say, how can we do that? They are powerful. The media are blocking us every move. They're spreading lies. We would need to do this, this, and that. We have 10 things to do, and we don't have enough people. And maybe,
do you think that common sense, because this, I've actually been curious about this, and this is one of the things I wanted to ask you, the difference between the U.S. and Europe. Do you think our common thread in the United States, no matter what your demographic is, of shared freedom and liberty, which was the great experiment here, is the thing that really drives people? Because it seems to me that if people wake up and they see that's what you're losing and that's what you've always had, even if you took it for granted, whereas I think Europe has always sort of been, you know, on that socialist slide for so long, that just is the way things are. I think if I lived there, I would think the same thing. It just, this is just how it is. But I think the big, and I was curious about what you think, but because it just seems to me, so if how you think things should be is freedom and liberty, and all of a sudden that's being snatched away, you know, is that, do you think that is the big difference between us and Europe?
Yeah, probably it's that, because if I go to people that are 50 years old, 60 years old in Italy or in Spain or France or Germany or whatever, and I say, well, don't you realize you are just a subject, you're not a free citizen, because the government has taken away so much of your freedom and independence, you are not free to decide for yourself what is going to be your future. They look at you with a blank stare in their eyes, and they say, what do you mean free? I am free. I'm free to do everything I want. And I go to them and I say, yeah, you're free to do exactly what they tell you to do. You're not free to do everything I want, because the government requires you so many regulations and stuff and red tape that you think that this is normal, but this is not normal. The big difference is this. America is still a free country. It's getting there. Unfortunately, it's not exactly as it used to be. It's getting there. So maybe that's why older people in the United States are rising up, because they still remember what it was like before. If you are 20 years old, 30 years old, you have never seen America as it used to be, a free and proud country. You have always seen the slide.
And I think the other thing about our seniors, too, though, is, you know, having, this is one of the things that scares me about war. Is not that war happens, but that people forget about war. And all the people we have that fought in the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, as they age out, And our young people, all they see war as is sort of this virtual thing in Afghanistan or Iraq. They don't have that shared memory anymore of the liberation of Europe after the Second World War. And I think if you don't appreciate that, this has always boggled my mind, and I still say this, I've always said this, I think that every American student needs to be shipped overseas for a couple of weeks to some other country and live it, because I don't think you have a true appreciation of this country until you've had to go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's really true. And about the matter of war, actually, this is something that it's bound to happen. Every generation just has a limited time span. It just fades away. And people don't remember that. But this is also because war has changed. War will never be. There will never be a Second World War again. The total war is probably a thing of the past. We will go back to wars as they were before, as they were in the 19th century, the 18th century. Limited war, very expensive wars, but limited. They are going to just involve a very limited part of the population. The total war of Second World War, First World War, they will never go back, because this is the new way of doing war. It's very technological, it's doing that, and the only impact they will have, it will be on the budget, and it will create huge debt, like Afghanistan and Iraq have been doing. So this is why, with this new kind of warfare that is being introduced right now, you need to have a government that is much smaller. You cannot have expensive, high-technology wars and a social welfare state. You cannot have both, because this will wreck every nation. As you've seen with Soviet Union, as you've seen everywhere, you need to have either one or the other. And this is very dangerous.
Well, Luca, I just want to interject in there. Y'all were talking about history, which, you know, is Mrs. Barbara's specialty, and we thank God for her, and we're really, all of you are historians. But and this is where, Ms. Barbara, they are really taking away the history. You know, they're not wanting the children to know really the past, the legacies that had been given. And, oh, I do want to make one point. We want small wars. But I think that we're seeing something in the Middle East that is going to be a greater than we can dream of scope of war, because, you know, we're seeing really armies getting ready to amass around Israel. But anyway, I want to get back to that history. Ms. Barbara, your take.
Oh, well, I'm just hoping that our people, our young people coming up, will love our country and our freedom and our liberty and the principles that they'll be willing to fight. You know, there are those among us that don't see anything worth fighting for at this point. But, you know, what you were talking about, the difference between what's happening in Europe and what's happening in America, that people in America are waking up. And I like what Don said about, you know, the shared freedom and liberty, and that drives us. But also that we're working from principles already established, and we're rediscovering them. We have a pattern to work from, and we are beginning to rediscover it, some of us to remember it. And in that pattern that was given to us by the Founding Fathers, there are solutions, and they are time-tested solutions. They are eternal truths. What you were talking about, Luca, at the beginning, and talking about the borrowing, the more and more debt enslaved the country. Well, the Founding Fathers knew that, and they were coming from the building block, the biblical building block, that the borrower is the servant of the lender. The Bible reveals that. The Bible reveals that we are to, that our private property extends from each one of us as individuals, that our private property not only includes our material possessions, which we establish government to protect, but our private property includes our intellect. It includes our conscience. It includes every part of us, and then the material extends from that individual and who must be protected, and his rights must be protected, because we are created fearfully and wonderfully in God's own image and likeness, with dignity and inherent value and worth. And that is foundational in this country. The other thing I want to be sure and remind everyone of is that any time that Barack Obama speaks the word investing, that we want to invest, that's a code word for big spending. Any time that he uses, or any of his people use that, he talked a lot about investing in education. That means big bucks. That means more and more and more money poured into the system that they choose. Not into the children, not into the classroom, but into the system for their experiments that they perform and have been performing for many years, instead of going back to the tried and true traditional method of education, passing on the wisdom, the accumulated wisdom from the past, from each to each succeeding generation. But anyway, those are a few of my comments. I'm just blessed listening to y'all. And Luca, just appreciate you so much. And we love being able to see through your eyes. You just are such a blessing. So thank you so much.
I have to tell you guys, because we were talking about China and our debt to China, about a movie that I just saw. A friend is the executive producer of Silvio Canto's radio show in Texas, and he's a conservative Latino. And so a friend of his made this movie called To Divorce, T-W-O, Divorce. And it's basically about China and the U.S. and China's chairman versus Obama. And the interesting thing is that this movie opens up with the idea that China says to Obama, their chairman, that we want you to sign one of these two, basically a contract. One is to say that you've been printing bad money, therefore trying to pay back China with basically counterfeit money, and we will jail you for the rest of your life. The other one is that you're going to sign off and turn the United States over to China. And frankly, from where we sit, that couldn't be more true.
It is possible. It is very much possible, actually, because the situation with China is not exactly as clear as we would like, because China is not as powerful or strong as most people think. That's why they are sometimes, you know, they're having a bad reaction to everything, especially with the latest fight with Japan for the small islands in the Yellow Sea. That's why China is perfectly aware that their population is aging because of the one-child policy, and is pretty much aware that the economy cannot keep on growing because the rest of the world doesn't have enough money to buy. And so China is not the superpower that they were thinking. And this thing that they're saying, that they want to control the United States, is exactly what is happening. But their power is not a positive one. So they will not be able to impose policies on the U.S. But they will be able to just threaten the U.S. in saying, well, we may stop giving you money, and so let us free to do whatever we want. So it's not an immediate danger for the United States. It's very much a danger for the rest of the world, because China is growing like crazy in Africa. They're pretty much buying entire countries, and they're shipping workers from China to work there, and people in Africa are not exactly happy about it, because they want the natural resources. And the American industry is not happy about it either. But the government is blocked because it has too much debt. And so it cannot go to China and say, well, stop doing this. Because China can always say, well, we can stop giving you money. So this is what is really dangerous. America will disappear from the world stage because it is in too much debt. But if you solve the problem and you reduce the debt and reduce the government spending, well, this is the beginning of the turnaround. America will go back into the world stage, and it will start having the influence that it's always had, as a counterbalance to the totalitarian states that are threatening world safety right now.
Well, Luca, you know, the Romney-Obama debate was really great because I think it showed a hopeful picture. There are choices. There can be jobs. That I think 12 million that Romney has said jobs. It is possible. We had Henry Burke come on, and he in detail, you know, spoke of how it can be done. And, you know, just opening up the energy industry, that right there, I think Romney said 4 to 5 million, and I believe it. We've seen it in the past. It can happen again. So it was really very good, and I'm sure when you watch that debate that it stirred up a hope in you and also for Europe.
I really hope so, yeah, most definitely. The only problem is that people in Europe didn't see the debate. They will probably see just a few highlights chosen by the mainstream media. So probably in Europe, they will know that Mitt Romney won the debate, but that's it. They will never go into the specifics. I know that. I've been a journalist for 20 years, and I know that when you are in the editing room, you can do pretty much whatever you want. So I'm pretty much sure that in Europe, no one has seen the fact, the wonderful sentence that Romney said. There was... you talk about picking losers and winners. Well, Mr. President, you're always picking the losers when he was talking about Solyndra and everything. This was a really effective one. And when he just rebuked the president and said, well, you have incentives for shipping jobs overseas? Well, I don't know. I've been in business for 25 years, but I've never seen anything like that. Maybe I should change my accountant. These were really, really powerful sentences. But I don't think that in Europe and everywhere around the world, they've seen them. They haven't gone into details. They haven't seen that the promises of Governor Romney, they are not empty promises. It's just saying that we should open up the energy industry. And this is something real, something that it will happen. And America can be independent from an energy point of view. It will
well,
be,
I think the
like it's always been.
Well, you know, Luca, your voice is powerful. I know that we have already seen the results of that, right, Ms. Barbara? We have seen it in our own state in a particular person that is going to make a difference, really not just for Alabama, Ms. Barbara, but throughout the entire country. So you have that voice, and I was, you know, God is so good. I just remember reading the scripture. It said that, you know, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. And, you know, I am so thankful to God, Luca, that your voice is being heard for such a time as this, because we're hoping that people will share this podcast, not just here at home, but also in Europe. There is hope shining, and I think that's what a lot of the young people, you know, the overwhelming polling that was done, even by CNN, you know, liberal CNN,
yep.
Was just incredible, because, you know, I can just imagine the young person who scraped and worked for 4 years to go and get a college degree, but right now, what are they doing? They're scraping just to get by. They're probably living with their parent. And, you know, there's a lot of them in tears. There's a lot of them men that want to have a control of their life, and it's out of control. And when they heard the difference between the Romney plan and the Obama plan, you know, I don't think it's going to be too hard to figure out which lever to pull. You know, which dot to dot. So I'm hoping that that will correspond. I just think they've, once you've seen a glimpse of truth, Ms. Barbara, you know, it's just like once you've gotten a taste of freedom, and Don, you were speaking about that, this is what makes America great. This is what Europe has been missing. America got a taste of freedom. And, you know, they don't want to lose that. So, Luca, you just spread that back when you get home.
I hope so. And this is very important because if America, you know, most of the people that I meet around here, they have been telling me, what can we do to help the worldwide Tea Party, to help the Tea Parties in Europe and Australia and Japan and Argentina, which are fighting a really difficult fight, especially the guys down in Argentina. They are going on the streets because the Argentinian government is following policies that are so bad that it's about to go bankrupt again, and it's going to destroy again the middle class, and they are fighting back. They are going on the streets, and they say, what can we do to help? And they say, well, bring all your friends and all your relatives to the polls November the 6th and make sure they vote for freedom, because this is the best thing that we can have. America needs to start doing what has always been done in the past, which is lead from example. So we want to be able to point to our friends in Europe that don't believe, they don't know what freedom is all about. And we want to say, well, you want to know freedom? Look there. Look at America. We need America to be the shining city on a hill that it's always been. Because in this moment of darkness, I don't know where to turn. If America goes, there is no hope anymore. We need to be able to show that free market policies work, that fiscal responsibility works. And what we need to do is having good people in Congress that will help, let's hope and pray that it's President Romney, not to stray from the course, because we know that there are powerful interests in Washington that will try and convince President Romney, if this will be God's will, to just stray from the course and keep on going with the same old politics as usual, spending and spending, borrowing, and so on. So this is really important, and we really hope that November the 6th will be the day where everything changes.
Well, Luca, you're here, and you are really going to impact, I think, the listeners. But if you could do a little soundbite, you know, because everybody's spending a lot of money on those 30-second, 2-minute, soundbites, video ads, whatever. If you could paint a picture for the listener of why they need to choose rightly and what is going to be before them, can you try to do it and give us something to look at?
Well, it's pretty much important, because I think that this will be the most important elections in our lifetime. There is no better time to just stand up and express your vote for freedom, because the rest of the world will be looking. Everyone that loves freedom and is yearning for freedom will be looking at America November the 6th. There will be a lot of people that would look at America for the wrong reason, because they are in bed with socialism. They want to impose a socialist world government. And they know that the only thing that can stop them is the American people, as always. Since the Second World War, since the First World War, everyone that wants to impose its will on the planet knows that sooner or later, they will have to come to terms with the American people. And we hope and pray all over the world that this will be the moment where the American people wakes up and goes against the propaganda that have been going on for 30 years, 40 years, and stands up and says with a strong voice that our freedom will not be taken. This will be the game changer. This will be the day when the history of the world takes a course back to freedom. And that's why I really hope and pray that you all convince your relatives, your friends, your neighbors to go to the polls and vote for freedom.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank you, Luca. And Don, we're coming to the end, and I'd like to ask you for some closing thoughts, and then Ms. Barbara, and end it with Luca.
I always agree with Luca, so my closing thoughts are very much like his. This is one of the most important elections we've ever seen in our lifetime. We really can't afford 4 more years on this path. And beyond the economics, which will most certainly destroy us, the reality is we do not live in a safer nation with this administration and this leadership that we see in the White House. So, I'm being really blunt with friends. If you want to see Israel destroyed, go ahead and vote for Obama. You know, if you're going to stand for freedom, not just here, but for our allies, then you must vote for Romney. And we will hold his feet to the fire. We're not going back to sleep just because the president has changed. And so we will make sure things are as they are supposed to be. But we have to have the courage of our convictions now. And if you're a Christian and you're saying you're not going to vote because neither of the candidates are Christian, well, I'm sorry, that's a cop-out. You know, you don't have the luxury to sit back and pick and choose right now. If every Christian registered to vote and registered to vote in this election and voted their conscience, you know, if they did that all along, we wouldn't be here in the first place. But this is a time for you to make a difference. And everything that I am seeing of Romney, he may not practice the same faith that I do, but he is obviously filled with convictions of faith and of God and of this nation. So, you know, we need to get this done, and we need to do it now.
Amen, Don. Amen. Good words. And good words, Luca. And I'm just so grateful that those words are coming forth. And I'd like to spend this time praying blessings on Luca. And Diana and Don, if you would join in so we can just lift him up to the Lord and pray for a time of refreshing for him in the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Luca. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed us, that he is such a gift to us, Father, and to our nation and to the world. Father, it is your doing, and it is wonderful in our sight. Father, your word tells us that you lift up, you raise up those that you choose to raise up, and you put down those you choose to put down, that you do exalt. And Father, we thank you that you have chosen him to be a mouthpiece, a spokesperson, that he is lifting up his voice like a trumpet, Lord. And you have given him knowledge and wisdom and truth, and he is upholding it and defending it, Father. But we pray that you would enlarge his territory, that more and more people will hear the clear message, Father, the clear message of freedom and how valuable it is to us. It is your gift to us, oh God, and that we would treasure it and we would protect it and we would preserve it, Father, that message would come forth from Luca in a bigger way, Father. And Father, that you say in your word, Lord, that you will open doors that no man can shut. We pray those doors will be open for Luca and that he'll be able to walk through in confidence in you, Father. And Father, we recognize that we do have knowledge, but Father, we never have enough of you, O Lord. So we pray that Luca's relationship with you will be deepened, Father, that his love will grow deeper, relationship, Father, with you will just expand, and you'll be able to whisper in his ear. You'll be able to bring things to his mind, and he'll have your understanding, O God, which only comes from you. Knowledge of the holy is understanding, your word says. So, Father, bless him abundantly above what he can ask or even imagine. And, Father, that freedom would prevail, Father, that freedom would once again be loved and treasured, protected and preserved for those today and those that come after us, Father, and that we would be good stewards of what you have given, O God. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Don, would you like to pray for Luca?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just wish Luca a safe trip home, a safe trip once he's back there. I want to thank you for the blessing of this brother in Christ, this brother in grassroots activism, for being so courageous and be willing to stand in that place of right and righteousness. Please protect him and all those that work with him and around him in Europe, because they really are trying to hammer a wall that is hard to break against socialism. And please continue to give him the ability to be wise and understand how to get to the next stage of things, and just continue blessing this show that allows us all to be together and share in not just your wisdom and in our shared faith, but in our shared wanting for liberty and freedom to spread. I ask for all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, and I'd like to add to that also and ask God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. You are such a good God. And, Lord, throughout the land, people are crying to you, Lord, for help. Lord, I thank you for raising Luca and others, Lord, in Tea Party Italia and the others that have come together with them in all those different countries. Lord, give them uncommon favor, uncommon wisdom, your counsel, Lord. Lord, let them hear it. Let them see your visions, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you, the creator of heaven and earth, Lord, you said to ask and you would not withhold any good thing if it be according to thy will. And, Lord, you are truth, Lord, and they are wanting to speak of you. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them. And, Lord, in your word, it says, Lord, in Mark 11, Lord, it said, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you doing this, tell him the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. I pray you will send Luca and all those tea parties the provisions they need, Lord, to expand their territory, Lord, that freedom, again, true freedom, Lord, that is blessed from you, a blessing from you, will reach all throughout the ends of this world, Lord, and that you may be glorified. Lord, we thank you that you're able to do these things. And, Lord, we just thank you again for Don and Miss Barbara and, Lord, especially Luca, Lord, as he is here with us investing, Lord. This is the right investment, Lord. We just thank you for what he's going to take home. We thank you for what he's leaving here with us, Lord. And we are going to hide it in our hearts, Lord, and we're going to share it also. And, Lord, we just thank you. Anoint him with the oil of joy, Heavenly Father, and the peace that passes understanding. And I pray that for all those that are going to unite with him in this work of freeing, Lord, the people, your people that are hurting. We ask this, Lord, humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Luca, we thank you so much. Would you like for us to turn it over to you and let you speak some more words of and close? And you know, it's too bad we're not going to get to see you. But, you know, as Don has said, Miss Barbara says, you know, we just consider you a part of the family, a brother, and we thank you so much. I think we may have already lost Luca, Miss Barbara. So,
you think so?
But anyway.
Okay. I was just so excited Luca was getting to be, was here when that first presidential debate was happening, because I could just imagine.
Yeah.
If we were excited, how excited he must be. I felt a little weird, you know. It was like, God, I would love to be there with him, because he was probably like the biggest cheerleader.
Hey, Diana.
Just feel something really totally in my soul, Luca. Like,
I'm still
you
here.
Being here was like the start of something incredible. I feel this I feel this excitement, and it's not just because of what you get to bring back to Europe, but because you got to talk to a lot of our folks who, even though we fight every day, we do sometimes forget why exactly we're doing it. And when you share with them what you see, we all say, exactly, that's why we continue to fight. And I just know you were probably like the loudest person watching the debate.
Yep. Yeah, most definitely. I was there watching the debate, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is so bad for President Obama. I couldn't believe that. And I was just there and saying, oh my God, Romney is finally come into what we knew that it could be. And so this was really effective. I don't think that the game is over. I think that, there will be some bad things, and I pretty much agree with Sean Hannity when he says that right now the Obama campaign will throw everything they have against Governor Romney. And,
and
it will be
came
a
out
very...
with new unemployment numbers this morning that put the unemployment rate dropped below 8%, which helps him,
fake.
Even though we all know that's phonied up.
Absolutely fake. Underemployment is still 16%. The numbers are doctored. It's pretty much the same thing with polls. They are going to all lengths to just try to win this election, and it's just the beginning. unfortunately.
Yep.
Well, I think it's so fitting that, you know, Columbus was Italian and Luca is Italian, Miss Barbara.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed. Columbus opened those doors, didn't he? And I think.
But Luca's really the Renaissance man now. So you have an Italian journalist working in London who's a spokesperson for the World Tea Party who just came over to the United States to take part in grassroots activism. I don't know how many other people can have the ability to say the same. So you're truly a Renaissance man, Luca.
I hope so.
Amen.
I hope so.
Amen. Luca?
Okay. It's been great. It's been great talking to you. Now I really must go because
he's got a meeting.
And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. And it's been great talking
to
you.
We'll talk again. Oh,
and
God
bless
you,
definitely.
Luca.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yes,
Godspeed.
And Miss Barbara and Dawn, we're going to have them back on. You know we will. And so I'm just so grateful. But I just wanted to really, that just hit me. And Miss Barbara, you've talked about it before, which is, you know, Columbus. You know, he was a God-fearing man. And, you know, we see that in Luca. You know, he is a God-fearing man. And just the parallel and what Luca is opening the doors to. And it's funny, Ms. Barbara, because in a way he is also going to take it back home. You know, it's like it comes full circle. Columbus went and opened the door for us to have this freedom. And now somebody, a descendant, is going to take it back to the old world and hopefully light a fire like Columbus did in America.
Yes.
God is good.
You know, I hear Luca. I hear him, and I hear his love for freedom and his love for this country, this country of freedom and opportunity. And he reminds me very much of Constantino Brumidi, the master artist who came to this country for political asylum, and he said he was a one of the most famous painters, artists in the world at that time. He was a Vatican painter. And he said he came to, he only wanted to spend the rest of his life making beautiful the capital of the only place where freedom dwells on this earth. And he spent the next 25 years, he spent the rest of his days not looking for fame or fortune, but making beautiful this our Capitol building in Washington, D.C., this place where, in this land of freedom. And but, you know, I hear that same love of our country and our people in Constantino Brumidi and then in Luca Bocci.
And
you know what
I want to add about?
I love Luca for a really simple reason, and it's totally self-serving, is that I love that he reacts the same way I do and gets excited the same way I do about things, good or bad, and that there is the urgency in his voice, and he starts to get a higher pitch like I do when things go crazy. I love that passion where you just want to reach through the computer or whatever and just shake people to get them awake. I love that he has that passion in him, and it's for all the right reasons. Not once has Luca ever asked for anything. He has never, I've never seen him do anything that actually will help him, frankly. He is so giving of his time and energy and willingness to talk to people. And, you know, that's just an incredible gift for all of us.
And what a leader, and I'm just so grateful for, you know, the Tea Party Italia. And I remember when I first looked at it, and I remember seeing the postings of a David Mazzarelli, and, you know, how they were, like, pioneering, you know, in their thinking. And I'm just so grateful for all of them that's coming along, and, you know, Luca is one of the leaders, and I just pray, Lord, bless them all, because they are working for their people. And really, you know, what they do will affect not just their own nation, not just their own continent, but really all of us here. Because when he shares that truth and the people catch that vision, and I really think, Don, that we got there is a sound bite, lots of sound bites in the things that Luca has said that will be very useful.
Well, and we have one degree of separation here in San Diego with Luca, because at the beginning, our Leslie Eastman, who's one of my partners here, went over to Italy, and they asked her to speak at the Tea Party Italia. And so she worked diligently on a couple of paragraphs that she wanted to be able to say in Italian to them.
Aww.
And so we have video and pictures. I'll send them to you of her speaking at the Italian Tea Party. And that really was like, you know, a way to bring it closer to home. We've had several people from California that have gone over and met him, Linda Dore. So, you know, it, to us, it's as if, you know, it's a brother returning home. And, you know, he's just, you know, he really is in so many ways a godsend, because to have somebody that's willing to speak honestly to you and tell you that here's the big red flag and you don't even understand how bad it can get yet, you know, that's just so important for us. You and I, all of us can say it forever, but I think having somebody from Europe say it to us, you know, somehow makes it more urgent.
Yes.
And really not just any, well, not just anybody, though, because I know, Ms. Barbara, not just anybody will impress a man of, in particular, you know, for example, Judge Roy Moore's stature. Not
yes,
just
God.
Any man can do that. But
exactly.
Yet, God is so anointed, really, God is has got his hand on that young man, you
yes.
know, that,
yeah,
that he really stands out.
Speaking of Judge Moore, this another degree of separation. So I get an email 2 days ago from somebody here in California that sends me an email about an article written in WND about Judge Moore needing some more contributions for his campaign. So she sends it to me. She says, don't you know this man? And so, of course, I send her back all these accolades about Judge Moore, and I'm so excited. She sends me back one line. She says, that's what I thought. I'm going to donate to his campaign now. So, praise God.
Good.
Well, we
yeah,
are praying for
opponent.
Him.
He has an opponent now that the Democrat Party is running, and it's a judge, not a Supreme Court judge here, but a judge who's very liberal, pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all that stuff, you know. But we really are confident that Judge Moore will have the victory and be placed back in the position that he was so wrongly removed from as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
Yeah, but you know, he needed to do that, and it needed to happen. You know, I was listening to Bishop Jakes yesterday, and I love when I finally get a lesson, you know. I love when somebody could turn the word to your everyday life where you understand it. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes you have to walk through that adversity to get to the other side of that grace. And I think that's what Judge Moore's fight was all about, because it raised not just his name, which he could care less about, but it raised the issue, and it brought religious freedom to really back into the picture to people, and it started mattering again. I think he was, you know, part of that beginning of the Christian revolt here in the country, where you know, people are really starting to get it. Christians are starting to wake up and starting to really see what's going on.
Yes.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
And
I think
you
you're
know,
right.
And Don, Ms. Barbara, you know, this is really why the radio show started. Me and my friend Debbie Head went to the Ten Commandment rallies, and we were astounded, you know, because the separation between church and state was what was being portrayed in the mainstream media, you know, by celebrities and everybody that thought they knew what they're talking about, but it's nowhere in the First Amendment. So I thought, you know, it's a problem of our people lack for knowledge, just as the Bible said. So we said, you know, we would start our little part. And it's so wonderful because I was reading Nehemiah 52 Days for Building the Wall, and 52 days from the date, which God told me to start on 9/11, 52 days from that date was that Bush election, the Al Gore Bush election. So, you know, he inspired us, and there's no telling how many people he has inspired throughout this country. And really, as Lucas tells us, Judge Romore inspired Luca. So it comes full circle. God is, you know, we're listening. God is talking to us, and we hear his voice.
Absolutely.
Well, with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead, and I know that y'all are busy and have got things to do, and I cannot wait for our listeners, Ms. Barbara, in Florida, to pass this on. And I'm praying, Dawn, that this podcast will be like wildfire. Because
I've already
really
sent it out everywhere, so
okay.
I've tweeted it, I've put it in 15 places on Facebook, I've sent it everywhere, so it certainly isn't for the lack of trying, God knows.
Well, my computer's crashed, so I know that, you know, I'm going to have to work at trying to get that out, but I know Ms. Barbara will too. But anyway, but in closing, I just want to thank each of you. You're like, you know, just so precious to me personally, and I know precious to God. So, and listeners, we know that you're precious to God because he gave his own son for you. He did not withhold his best gift, his son. So we pray that you will hear his plea. You know, he loves you. And that's really what America is founded on, Miss Barbara. It's that servant attitude that I was talking about. You know, he said in Mark 10:43, if anybody's got a Bible, read that and remember what it says. You know, Jesus is talking. He says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we hope that you would remember that, and that you would welcome him to be Lord of your life. Because as we, Ms. Barbara, Dawn, and I have found out, no, life is not easy all the time. It's very hard many times, but it's abundant with God. What do you think, Dawn and Ms. Barbara?
Absolutely. You know, through God's grace, through adversity comes grace. And you know, T.D. Jakes was talking yesterday that you know, we spend so much time, and people, I mean, it's common for us to do, that we pray when it's the hard times, and we pray hard when things are going wrong, but what we don't stop and look at is all the things that are going right, and we don't look that he had an example, you know, the lady that goes to the hairdresser, and she's under the hot air dryer, and she's, you know, getting her hair done, and it doesn't mean anything to her. She's in there every week, and the lady who just got the gift certificate from her daughter, who's never been, is sitting next to her, and they're both in the same position, but in a different dimension of grace, is how he put it. And so I think that, you know, it reminded me, even when things are going wrong, or even when I'm, you know, praying because I feel like, you know, something hasn't happened, you have to stop and look at what you do have and be so grateful for all the right that's going on and for all the goodnesses that's going on. And so that, you know, that hit me yesterday. I thought, you know, you're right. I always, you know, pray for the blessings that I receive, but I think we need to stop every day, you know, collectively and just say, you know, we're fighting for freedom and liberty here. And it's because we've had it. And, you know, that's an incredible blessing that God gave us.
Ms. Barbara?
Amen. I'm just so grateful for all that God is doing with us, in us, and even through us, that he is with us, that we seek him and he hears and he answers. There's a scripture, I sought the Lord, he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. The God who created heaven and earth, the God who gathers the wind in his fist, God that says to the sea, be still, and it obeys him. You know, he loves us. He wants us to have that personal, intimate, deep relationship with us, each one of us. And And when we respond to his kind, gracious invitation and surrender our lives to him, he comes to dwell within us and we'll never be alone again. And I'm just so grateful for him and what we can have in him, that we can have him in that relationship with him through Christ. And he wants each one of us to have that and to grow more and more in love with him as he is in love with us. Thank you, Diana.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I'm going to, a door has been opened for me, Dawn, Ms. Barbara, to teach how to journal. I was speaking to someone and I've gotten an invitation. I'm going to share it with young people and older people. But, you know, I'm going to share this because I think it is a key for such a time as this. But, Dawn, I may not have shared with you, there is a prayer journal. It's called City on a Hill Prayer Journal. It's available on Amazon. But I have journaled for years. You know, I just love the fact that George Washington did. And what I found is it is me getting on the page with God. And, you know, for people that do not journal, it helps you because it asks you questions that, you know, may not have thought about, like what touched my heart this week. You know, something like that is very special because when you look back, it's like you were saying, Dawn, you're remembering what God has done, God's provisions. And I've been doing this for years. And I remember one day at work, I tried to write down all my prayer requests. And I was going to see how many times God answered my prayers. I wrote down 22 times. And I only did 22 times because I was at work. But, you know, he said, give me everything. Give everything to me in prayer. The little things, the big things. Even Colonel Osmo said, yeah, I pray for parking spaces. You know, give everything to him in prayer. And then when your memory has faded, you can look back and see God's provisions. And, you know, Miss Barbara, you were saying that the other day. Testimony.
I tell you what, Diana, I've been using the prayer journal that you and the Lord put together for a couple of years now. And just the other day, I started looking back in it and was just overwhelmed with God's goodness. And I saw things that I had forgotten. How could I have forgotten this, I said, and how could I have forgotten that? And, you know, it's just beautiful. It is a tool. As you said, for such a time as this, it is a tool. It is such a helpful tool for me. And getting on the same page with God, that's a very good description of it. And then coming back and see what God has done is just amazing. And it will be a blessing to everyone who gets this journal and begins to use it. And like you said, Diana, there are questions there that trigger thoughts that you might not ordinarily have on a regular basis. And it really points you to specifics that we do need to keep before us and bring them to God and then see what he does with them. It's truly amazing.
Well, Ms. Barbara, that conversation I had, and Dawn, if you're still on, was really with somebody who dealt with suicidal, you know, people. And when I first started this, that was in my heart, was I wanted somebody who was so depressed with life and the circumstances to have something that they can look and read that would help them go beyond their pain. And I know one time I was having what I thought was shingles. Because I was in between journals and I was not journaling. I was waiting for the published journal to come out. And I called and my sister said, Diana, that is your nerves. You're under a lot of stress. Would you believe I found an old journal and I started filling it out. And that disappeared. It never came back. You know, people ask me, why are you so happy? And it's because I try to, or at least on Saturday night, you know, give my concerns to God in prayer, and what a load he takes off my shoulders so that I can go again the next day, the next week. But anyway, I'm sharing this because I've shared it with some friends in Virginia, and we're praying for great things to come and happen with that group in Virginia that's doing this journaling, And I'm praying that, you know, we will learn from God, just as he told the Jewish nation in Jeremiah 31, I think, or 30 or 31, to write. We need to do the same thing, because God has testimonies in our lives. If we are his, our lives, stories, are testimonies. They're a pleasing aroma. And I think we need to remember. And so this really is, I'm saying this today, because we're at that point where, you know, we will either go left or right. And the path we take, if it's not what God wants us to take, we will be off course. So let's get on the page with God. You can really journal with anything, a notebook even. But now this has some pointers for persons that do not journal. It's got add-on prayer lists in the back, and I guess one of the things that I shared with the young man is that I've helped somebody. I've worked in the food stamp program, which is now the program that everybody talks about, and I got to hear the heartbeat of America. And I would put a lot of their names in this prayer journal. One in particular that I remember that got me started was a woman that was doubled over, hurting, and I placed her on appointment on Monday. I'd seen her Friday. Well, she had shaved her head when she came in Monday. And she was suicidal. She said he was either that or. And I was scared, but, you know, just prayed God, got through the interview. And I placed her name on the prayer list and lifted her name up. It's, you know, you've got a long list. You can have as many people as you want to pray for. But I did that on Saturday nights once a week. I lifted her name, not knowing what was wrong with her. I just knew she was hurting. And every 3 months she'd have to come in. She'd share a little story. And I'd say, I'm praying for you. And I was, faithfully. I couldn't believe it. But by the ninth month, she came in and had found the church and was talking about the foundations of her faith. And then the 12th month, this woman came in, beautiful hair to her shoulder, beautiful blue suit on. She came to say goodbye and to thank me. I have never seen her, but that was one of those stories that God was showing me. You know, I don't have to know every detail from you. He already knows the details of these people's lives. But just give them to me in prayer. So I share that, and I'm sharing you that, not because I want to make money out of the journal. As a matter of fact, what money I did make, a little bit of it, has been invested back so that other people can have this and find what I found, which is, you know, God is great. God loves me, and not just me. He loves all of us, and nothing is hard for him. I can testify to that. Ms. Barbara can testify to that, and Don. And I know when I had a problem yesterday, it was supposedly so big, gave it to God in prayer. The next morning, it was nothing. You will see what I have seen. There is a spiritual kingdom out there, and we have powers through God we know not of, because we do not get in his word. So I just invite you in closing. You know, really didn't want to add this, had not thought of this. But, Ms. Barbara, I think for this time as that we are in, it is a battle. And the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is his word, right, Ms. Barbara? It is his word that is the weapon.
That's right. And, well, and it is accessible to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Diana, it's been so good. Thank you for sharing that about the journal, because it has meant so much to me. And I know if others will use it, it will just transform their lives. And I encourage them to get it. It's a blessing.
Well, Don, I think, Don, are you still there? Okay. Good. Okay. Well,
Don,
I'm surprised I have not mailed you one already. I need to mail you one, a prayer journal.
I actually do that every night. I try to, and for a long time also, I really do try to sit down and put to pen to paper of blessings, things that I think I need to work on, areas that I think, you know, I hope, I pray God gives me grace in. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I think it's just good just getting it out. I think it's very cathartic just to get things out and to, you know, it feels more real to me if I put pen to paper.
Wow. Well, Amen. He made us in such a way you learn better if you write it down. It's like you remember tasks if you write it down. So God made us, and he said to write. And, oh, that's so wonderful, Dawn. And my social worker friend said, I think kind of the same words you said. It's very healing.
And I do like to, I do occasionally, too, go back and look. And it's amazing how, if you go back, how small some things seem now. You know, that obviously, you know, God has answered that prayer or you've worked that out or something's happened. And, you know, I laugh at some of the things that were so important a year ago. You know, but I think that shows the growth, you know, and the change. And I think it solidifies, for me anyway, look, that prayer was answered.
Oh, exactly. And he can point, you can point your finger on it, and he can point it to you and see, look what I've done for you. And
yeah.
Nothing is too hard. And, well, you know, I hate to let you all go. I'll say one more thing about the two little, because a lot of, some people, you know, they hate to pray for little things, you know, and they, you know, just, I know I've hated to ask God, the, you know, very little things. But I remember the other day driving, and it was dark, it was rainy, and I thought, Lord, you know, my car, I've got a little car, Lord, you know, please let this rain stop and it lighten up. And I was reminded by him of what he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I said the scripture that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And immediately that rain stopped and it lightened up. Even a little sun came out and I had to cry. You know, God is just so good. I cannot thank him enough. Well, listeners, this is going to be shortened so that tomorrow, the podcast on Saturday, they will not hear this second hour conversation, but hopefully some will, and hopefully you will find, as we have found, God is faithful. God is good. And there is no sin that he cannot forgive you if you will go to him. Right, Miss Barbara? No sin. Oh, that's right. She's already gone. Well, Dawn, I'm going to close, and we'll see you next week. Right, Dawn?
Absolutely. I will be there Monday with Bells On.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, listeners, we're going to be blessed with David Barton of Wall Builders. So we hope you'll join us. God bless you, and share the podcast if you'd like. Go to www.cityonahill.tv. And, of course, you can stop this. You know, this is a long podcast, but at any point in time, you can stop and start it over because, you know, it's easy to do that on the player on our website. So God bless you. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend, and may God bless America. Goodbye.
Bye.